America weekend.
That's why I'm keeping the faith. Yeah, 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 keeping the faith.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. About 10 days ago, we had a chance to sit down and speak with Faith Salie of the CBS Sunday Morning Show and, of course, from NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Faith has a new book out, Approval Junkie. Well, Faith was very generous with her time. We chatted for almost 25 minutes, and we had just too much stuff for one segment. So let's take all of the other stuff and make a second segment. So this is the rest of our conversation with Faith Salie, and we pick up with the idea of being an actor is a really interesting way to kind of look for approval from people that you're not necessarily going to get it from. You know, you're in one tiny little independent movie, not a porn movie, let me just say that, but you get cast in one independent film and you think, I'm going to be in every independent film that's ever made for the rest of my life. I'll make $900 for my career, but I'm going to be in every single movie. And it doesn't happen that way. So.
You know, I open my book with a chapter about this experience I had when I was in L.A. and I went to this acting guru. My manager, I had not been nailing my auditions, and my manager at the time said, oh, you have to see this woman. And this was, I mean, this was like 12 years ago, and I think for a half-hour session with this woman, which, by the way, half-hour was 25 minutes, it was $130, which was a lot of money back then.
To
a person who wasn't making a ton of money acting.
Sure.
And I read my lines to her. She was supposed to be prepping me for an audition. And at the end of it, we were in this dark, candlelit room. And at the end of it, she kind of cocked her head at me with this, like, curious, serious compassion. And I swear to you, I thought she was about to say, I don't know why you're not a massive star. And instead, she said, why aren't you as pretty as I want you to be?
Wow.
And, yeah. And, but here's the kicker, Ed. I wasn't offended. And my thought bubble was, yeah, why aren't I as pretty as you want me to be? I mean, that's what Hollywood will do to you.
Sure.
And then she prescribed bangs. I was so glad she wasn't going to tell me to become a Scientologist.
Well, there you go.
She told me to get bangs. And then as an sort of as an afterthought, I was leaving the room. She was like, you know, one more thing. Do you have kids? And at the time, I was in my mid-30s. I did not have kids. And, of course, it was Hollywood, so I was auditioning to play the mother of middle schoolers, but I did not have children of my own. And she said, you know, I think someday I'm going to see you again, and you're going to be a mother, and you will be softer, and you will be happier, and the work will come because you'll understand what's important.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. And I had always known I wanted to be a mother. Children seemed so far off at that point, but I have to say, a decade later, I had a new husband and a new career and lived in a new city, and I had two kids, and she was exactly right. And I never got the bangs because they're too much of a commitment.
See, so the 130 was spent in a good way. I was worried there for a minute because I'm thinking, if it didn't have that outcome, I'm thinking, my God, she spent $130 for a suggestion on bangs. You could have went to Great Clips. $10 could have taken care of the whole thing.
Great,
you know?
Clips.
My goodness. And it's almost as if she was like a psychic that said, this is what's
you're
coming.
Right. And no, she, you're wow. right. And she was, there was a part of me that knew that she had to be right in some way. Cause I always knew I wanted to be a mother. And I write about that, about my part of my book is a journey towards parenthood, because I think anyone who has kids understands that you sort of reframe your notion of approval. But yeah, she was exactly right. Do you have kids?
Yes, I do. I have one son, and he's now 13. And isn't it the most reaffirming and self-esteem building thing to see that child go from just this infant that needs your complete help 24/7 to start to grow and mature and become a person? And you see that you're doing the right thing. And as that person goes out into the world, that's the best approval that you can feel, because you know what? You're doing the right thing. You're raising this human being the right way. And to me, that's the biggest boost of self-esteem that I can get when someone gives me a compliment about my son. Me and my wife, we're doing the right thing with him.
And if he's happy, that's the thing, right? Like, not even all kids will be great students, but if they're happy children.
The best thing anyone ever said about my son, he seems so happy and well-adjusted. And it was completely unsolicited. And it's like, you know what? Wow. Everything's been worth it. The sacrifices, the spending money on this, the staying up late for that, it's all worth it. Because when everything else is said and done, that child is your legacy that you leave in this world.
That's right. I mean, I think what people, where they can go overboard is thinking that their children is completely a reflection of them,
right?
Those are the helicopter parents who want to make sure their kid speaks Mandarin fluently by
age
three.
That's ridiculous.
And
you know, six karate lessons on Tuesday and macrame on Wednesday. Every single second has to be scripted. No.
Yeah.
That's just me opining. Sorry about that. We're interviewing you. You're not interviewing me, and I should have done that.
But. No, this all goes into your next book. This
yes, it does.
It's also going to have a chapter on parental advice.
And it all started from auditioning for that porn movie on the Lower East Side. Couple things I have to ask you about, and I, you know, and speaking about parenting, one of the things you did on CBS not too long ago, and I feel the same way. I hate it when my kids' friends call me Mr. Kalecki. I like when they call me by my first name.
Thank you.
Because you know what? I don't want to feel like I'm 85 years old. I want to feel like I'm still with it, that I can kind of relate to them and play with them. So I looked at my wife that morning when we were watching, and I said, "Amen." It was Sunday morning, so it's appropriate to say that as well. But I said, "Amen." You were so spot on that.
Thank you for saying that. You know, working on Sunday morning, which is obviously a show that airs on Sunday morning, the Christian Sabbath, one might be very surprised. I do commentaries, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always shocked at the vitriolic feedback I get on a Sunday from these folksy people who watch the show when they don't agree with me. And you'd be amazed, Ed, or maybe you wouldn't, about how many people vociferously disagreed with me about the fact that I said, "Hey, you know what? I'm glad my kids are growing up in a time where they mostly call all adults by their first name."
Right.
I think it shows a really reciprocal respect between adults and children. And I also said, I will note, "Hey, if you want my kids to call you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, then we'll respect that and they'll do that." But there were people who were so, they thought I was like the downfall of society.
Wow.
And there, you know, I write about this in the book. I have a chapter about what it's like to do something in public. And, you know, one of my jobs on CBS Sunday Morning is to have an opinion. And what it's like to deal with really hateful feedback. It's, at first it was really hard. I mean, there are plenty of people who call me the C word, but spell it with a K.
Oh, that's lovely. Wow.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that also came from being on Bill O'Reilly's show a few times.
Well, those things happen.
Yes, I'm not. That's not exactly my target demo. But I often go on Sunday morning and I think, okay, I'm going to do a commentary that, yeah, it's kind of innocuous. Let's talk about how everyone should use the word whom, how people should acknowledge good grammar, or let's talk about doing fist bumps instead of shaking hands,
right?
Because then we'll spread less germs. And it's just amazing in our society today that people are so eager to spend their energy disapproving.
And someone actually writes a letter, "I want to spread germs. I enjoy a good handshake. I'm not afraid of anything. Life is a petri dish. Enjoy." You know, it takes all kinds, doesn't it? It's amazing. So, you know, same thing here. I mean, we've gotten, you know, you say, the most innocuous thing, you think that nobody's going to pick up on it, and all of a sudden, you know, 95-year-old Mr. McGrady, or maybe I shouldn't call him Mr., Scott, let's say, you know, decides he's going to write in on some old airmail paper he's had from, like, 1968, and he's all upset. It's like, you know what? It's a little throwaway comment. If you don't like what I'm saying, there are so many other opinions out there, but it's amazing. The smallest thing will tweak everybody.
Exactly. And the irony, of course, is when I'm on screen, it literally, there's a little sun for Sunday morning on the screen, and then it says opinion. And
yes.
Like, it is just my opinion, everybody. Go back to your bacon and pancakes. It's okay.
And plus, it's Sunday. Calm down. You know, this isn't Wednesday at 3 o'clock here. We're not waiting for the market to close. You know, Charles has got the bow tie on. It's all good. You know. And think about it. When you finish, we come back from commercials and we're watching ostriches walking around somewhere in Oregon. We're watching a peaceful nature moment.
Oh my gosh, you are the biggest Sunday morning fan.
Yes, I am.
You've nailed the show.
I swear, the three of us, me, my wife, my 13-year-old son, every Sunday morning, we're in front of the TV. That's how we start our Sundays.
You guys have really good taste. And I'll tell you, I have a commentary coming up. I hope you enjoy.
Okay.
It is. Maybe you saw this headline. They did a study showing that people who use taboo language, like mm-hmm. people who curse a lot, are smarter. Are smarter.
Wow. You know what?
Are you a genius?
My wife, then, probably has an IQ of 964.
She's an effing genius.
Yes, and you know what? You just hit upon her favorite word, and she can conjugate it in ways that the biggest linguist in the world couldn't even imagine. So it's just, it's amazing. Well, the book is quite a read. You should definitely pick it up. Yes, if you want to be completely consumed with all things faith, by the way, you can visit her website, faithsaley.com. Are you on Twitter? I forgot to look.
I am, yeah.
What's your Twitter handle?
At @faith_saley.
Wow, you're going to get a new follower later today. It's going to be me. It's going to be terrific.
Oh,
wow.
I'm going to follow you right back.
Oh, my God. You know what?
A big hug of approval.
Talk about, we're both going to seek and achieve approval in a tiny little scintilla of just one little moment of just complete euphoric bliss. It's going to be amazing. The new book, Approval Junkie, Adventures in Caring Too Much, is available in bookstores, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is quite a fun read. Faith Saley, thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Ed, thank you so much.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This flashy outfielder made 13 stops in a 25-year career, including four separate stints in Oakland. He's a 10-time All-Star who holds career records for stolen bases, runs scored, and leadoff home runs.
And Ricky goes, a pitch taken, he's going to have it. He does! Ricky Henderson, no contest, steals third base.
So where is Ricky Henderson now? The New York Mets hired Ricky as a coach in 2006 and helped Jose Reyes at the plate and on the base pass. The following year, the Mets promoted Ricky to first base coach. Ricky was elected to the Hall of Fame in 2009, receiving almost 95% of the vote.
I am now in the class of the greatest players of all time.
Ricky Henderson, still stealing the spotlight. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. The owner's manual ain't good for much more than break-in, fluid checks, and a blank page or two for your remarks. One company offers manuals to show you how to break down almost any bike. You can download it in minutes. Today on American Biker Minute.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Shade Tree Mechanics, in need of a manual for a particular bike? Seek Clymer Motorcycle Advice, CLYMER. Their repair manuals are specifically written for us. Exploded figures and parts list to take the bike right down to the frame in step-by-step fashion. Clymer, CLYMER.com. Use the download option, save 20%. Please don't tear a bike down without a manual.